Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
The only way to score is, of course, to play with a hand break off.
Hello, I'm Ian Stone. Welcome to our midweek edition of Hand Break Off, the Arsenal podcast, brought to you by The Athletic. We're going to be talking transfers and the Europa League draw, which has just been made. David Ornstein has given us a transfer update, which you'll hear in a short while. I'm joined this afternoon by Adrian Clark. Afternoon, mate.
Afternoon. Just me and thee then today.
Yes, just the two of us. Skeleton crew for the Europa League draw. Just, I mean, you know the draw, right? PSV Eindhoven of the Netherlands, Bodo/Glimt of Norway, and FC Zurich of Switzerland. As a little opening question, which of these European cities would you like Arsenal Airways to fly you to?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I would like to go to Norway, actually. Let's go to Glimt. Yeah, why not? I think that sounds a really, really interesting place. It's a progressive club. Yeah, it'd be nice to check it out. I enjoyed going to visit the Arsenal Norway Supporters Club a few years ago. And yeah, I wouldn't mind a cheeky little return. Zurich's a bit businessy, isn't it? And Eindhoven, I've been to Holland loads of times. So let's go to Glimt.
Are you saying Glimt? £9 a pint, though, I am saying in response to that. You know, I mean,
yeah,
what are you doing?
Maybe you go to Eindhoven for...
yeah. Do you know what? I'm with you, really. I do think... I either went to Zurich or Geneva. I'm genuinely not sure which. Switzerland, as we know, is the most boring place on earth. Hello, Swiss people. You're lovely, but honestly, I mean, Geneva has a jet d'eau. Do you know about the jet d'eau, Adrian? It's a jet of water. And people go to look at it like it's something. Oh, look at the jet of water. It goes about 40 feet high. Really the most interesting thing, I think. I can't remember if it was Geneva or Zurich. And Eindhoven, I don't know a lot about Eindhoven. I was watching A Bridge Too Far the other day. I know it was involved in the in Operation Market Garden in 1944. But I'm with you. I think Norway. I think maybe we'll take a carry out. Anyway, yes, the Europa League draw happened. Eindhoven, Bodo Glimt and Zurich. Eindhoven are managed by Ruud van Nistelrooy, Adrian. Really a favourite with all Arsenal fans.
It's an opportunity to boo him, isn't it? That I think, is what Arsenal fans will really be looking forward to. He rocks up at the Emirates and yeah, those behind the away dugout will give him absolute pelters, won't they? And
That's me, mate. That is me. Yeah. I am 15 rows back from Ruud van Nistelrooy, and I'll let him know exactly what I think of him. Yeah, it is a chance. I don't know a huge amount about Bodo Glimt or FC Zurich. I'm assuming that the general feeling is that we maybe not walk through the group, but we've got enough to get us through the group. But just let's start. I mean, what do you feel about the Sunday Thursday thing going on again? I mean, from my point of view, I actually don't mind. I never saw it as, I don't know why people said, oh, it's more difficult than Saturday Wednesday. In the end, as long as there's a 3-day gap, they'll be fine, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I've never been hung up on that either, to be honest. And because this season it's all in a more condensed period, because they want to get the group stage done before the World Cup, it just affords the players and the team to get into a rhythm of sorts. So what you'll have is the Sunday team, and then they'll have a day off, and then probably on the Monday the Thursday team will get to work planning for that particular match. And that's how I see it working, really. I think that we can afford with this group to rest maybe all 11, depending on injuries, but certainly 8, 9, 10, 11, I think we'll get a breather on the Thursday. it's not as if we don't have good backups now. It's, you know, look, I've made up a backup team and it looks pretty solid to me.
Well, we'll go into that. Gunner Funder on Twitter, because we did do Ask Adrian Anything. And we've got some questions in. One of them, and we will go through some of them later on, but one of them from Gunner Funder said, will Mikel Arteta go with two different 11s for the Europa and Premier League? You think he will?
I do, yeah. I think almost certainly.
For the group stages anyway.
Yeah. If we can't get through with our backup team, then I think there's a problem. Okay, if results start to not go so well, then you can always drop a couple of the big names in. Injuries obviously will dictate, won't they? Certain players might be out and then they'll need games to get them freshened up. What I used to really like about us playing in Europe was the fact that the subs, the guys that didn't get on at the weekend, would get match sharp. They'd get fully fit by playing in the Europa League, so that when they are inevitably called upon in the Premier League, that they're ready or they're more equipped to handle it. So that's a big positive for me. But yeah, like this team, for example, Turner, Cedric, Tomiyasu, Holding, Tierney, Sambi, Elneny, Marquinhos, Vieira, Smith Rowe, and Nketiah. I think that team could get us a lot of victories in the group stage, to be perfectly honest. But it will change, it'll evolve and whatnot. There'll be first choices in there sometimes, but yeah, I'm confident that we can progress nicely. But Bodo Glimt are the interesting ones. They have beaten good teams. They beat Celtic, AZ Alkmaar, Roma as well last season, so there's strong Ostersund's vibes about Bodo Glimt. They're this sort of modern Scandinavian side that are pulling up trees, so They'll be awkward. PSV have got some good individuals. Cody Gakpo is the star one, isn't he? Linked with us and a number of clubs. I don't know a lot about FC Zurich, other than that they're the champions and the manager has just joined them from being the national team manager with Austria. So yeah, I'd expect them to be solid, but not too spectacular. So yeah, all in all, it's a pretty good draw. And I think the fact that they're local countries as well to England is quite a nice factor as well. No lengthy plane trips.
No, that actually seems to me the best part of the draw, really. These are all two-hour flights away, aren't they, really? I mean, we could have been going over to, Kazakhstan. We could have been going to one of the stands, couldn't we, really? And and playing like a 6-7 hour plane ride either way. That is when it, you know, you don't get back till 5 o'clock on the Friday morning. You got a game on the Sunday afternoon at one. That's really not a recovery time.
No.
It is a truncated season, obviously, because of the World Cup. We apparently are going to have 9 fixtures in October. That's when we need to keep it together injury-wise, isn't it, really?
It is, but what can you do about it? No one plans for injuries. You've just got to hope for the best, haven't you? I suppose Mikel Arteta and the coaching staff, along with the support staff, will just try and manage the training. So there'll be less physical work in the training sessions. Like I said, there might be two groups working sort of side by side throughout the week where, you know, on a Tuesday and a Wednesday, a certain group of players are really nailing down on the tactical stuff while the others sort of tick over and just stay fit. I think what I'd like to happen is for us to always take 3 or 4 star players to go on the bench. Now, I'm talking about across all positions, just in case things start to go a little bit pear-shaped in these away trips. But I would also, you know, leave 3 or 4 at home, just to give them an absolute breather ahead of the weekend. So I'm sure they'll be planning what to do right now, actually. So yeah, it's manageable, I think.
I would hope so. Bodo Glimt, apparently it's Bodo/Glimt.
Is that how you have to say it?
I don't know. I mean, this is what I was told just before I came on air. I don't think they're called
Bodo/Glimt. It doesn't have the same ring. Yeah.
I don't think so, really. But they apparently have yellow kits, and they also, the fans, carry huge yellow toothbrushes, which they bring to the game.
That's normal, isn't it? Who doesn't carry a yellow toothbrush?
Is this the Europa League? Who doesn't? That is true. I mean, you'd hope...
Everywhere I go, when home and away, all I see is people carrying big toothbrushes. You know, so what?
It's a slightly strange thing going on, but this is the Europa League, isn't it? You don't get this sort of quirkiness in the Champions League, do you, really?
It's great.
It's also, by the way, what we haven't talked about is the chance for some of the kids, some of the youth team players, because we know that that's what happened in the last few seasons. Emile Smith Rowe came famously through that, and we'd hope there's one or two that we could bring through in these games. Adrian, what's the expectation in the Europa League, do you think?
I mean,
there's Man United in there, one or two other obviously big teams, but we've got to be one of the favourites, haven't we?
Well, every time we've been in the competition, we've almost won it, or it feels that way. So, yeah, I think we must start as favourites. I look at the starters, okay, and whoever starts this competition doesn't always finish it, because you get the clubs coming in from the Champions League, don't you? And you just got to need a bit of luck, I think, in terms of avoiding fantastic teams dropping into it. But I think of the starting lineup, Arsenal would be my favourites, I think, for the tournament, you know, red-tinted spectacles aside. So, yeah, I think we can go a long, long way, and I would expect us to. And it is that route back into the Champions League. Obviously, we're pushing. We're going all out for top four this season. I think we can all genuinely start to believe that that's a strong possibility, but it's no harm to qualify in a different manner either, is there? And I'm just all about the trophies. Most of my best memories in following Arsenal, you know, as a member of staff or as a fan or as a media person, are the trophy winning days and nights. And yeah, I want to see us lift this cup. I really do.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I mean, obviously, I remember when Laurent Koscielny scored away at Newcastle and we grabbed fourth, or when Kieran Gibbs made a last-minute tackle to keep a 3-2 lead at West Bromwich Albion and we made fourth. But it ain't the same as watching the boys lift a trophy and celebrating. It definitely isn't. So I would totally agree with you. By the way, it has been confirmed by our producer, Abby, that we are favourites to the Europa League. A lot to look forward to there.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX, stream on Hulu.
Obviously, Adrian's idea about having two starting 11s, which we can get into a little bit more, will be affected by what happens in the last few days of the transfer window. And for this show, we have transferred in a big gun. Here with all the latest on Arsenal's outgoings and incomings, it's The Athletic's David Ornstein.
Well, the final week or days of any transfer window tend to be pretty busy for Arsenal. If we think back over the years, summer and January, more often than not, they tend to do some late business, often on the final day itself. This year feels like it could be relatively quiet. Famous last words. They are still active in the market. That's in terms of a potential incoming and outgoings too. So, incoming. We know Arsenal would like to bring in a wide player. Ideally, that player would be Pedro Neto of Wolverhampton Wanderers. I revealed in my column on Monday that Pedro Neto is now the recruitment priority for Arsenal. He's a player that they've liked for a long time. I've seen some reports from before he joined Wolves that suggested Arsenal were exploring the possibility of signing him. And since, I'm sure they, like many clubs, have tracked him, followed him closely. And now is the time Mikel Arteta would like to move for him. There has been dialogue for more than a month between Arsenal and George Mendes, his representative, who also plays a key part in operations at Wolves. And then Mendes has also been discussing it independently with Wolves. So he's the kind of go-between, the intermediary. Wolves are insistent that they don't expect him to leave before the deadline. And if they are to sell, you suspect the price will be very high, in particular at this stage of a market when they might have very little time to replace him. Although you could say with Guedes and Nunez coming in, they've already got the bodies in ahead of a potential departure. And they are looking to sign Sasa Kalajic from Stuttgart, another story we've reported on The Athletic. But he's a striker, though some may point out that that expenditure might only be possible if there is an exit, given how much they've already spent in this window. Now, we don't know if that will be Neto, who Wolves see as one of their key players. But Arsenal are exploring this, however unlikely it may be. And of course, Arsenal themselves have invested heavily, and financial fair play is a consideration. I don't think Arsenal are able to spend extortionate sums of money in these final throws. The reason that Arsenal have it as a possibility is that Nicolas Pepe has left on loan. It does not include an option or an obligation to buy. It frees up space for Arsenal. I don't know of any other incoming possibilities. We'll make lots of calls and inquiries in the days ahead, but certainly that was the target area. In terms of other outgoings, Ainsley Maitland-Niles is available to leave. There's been interest from a number of clubs, including Bournemouth, reportedly Southampton too. West Ham has been mentioned in various dispatches, and I think that's a move that may appeal a bit more to Maitland-Niles, who's London-based. But we'll have to wait and see. It could be a late developer, that one. And where else? Maybe Hector Bellerin? Speculation linking him with a move away from the Emirates Stadium. He's only got a year to go on his contract, so Arsenal will need to make a decision. Do they want to get something for him? I think they probably do in an ideal world. And if they can't, do they agree to terminate his contract or make him see out his final 12 months? I think he would like to leave. He's been linked to the likes of Real Betis, where he spent a successful trophy-winning season on loan last time round. But they've got financial problems. They're having to pull economic levers in a not too dissimilar way to Barcelona to raise revenues, to try and invest in their squad. And I'm not sure they would be able to afford Bellerin. Barcelona have been linked as well, and a number of others. So that feels like it wraps it up for Arsenal. Never say never on incomings. You simply never know with Arsenal, because we've been here before where it felt like it was going to be quiet and then it exploded into life. Watch this space, because we'll be keeping you fully abreast of it on the various Athletic platforms right through until that 11 p.m. deadline on September the 1st.
So, Adrian, I suppose the big one there is Pedro Neto, Wolverhampton Wanderers. They're going to ask for a lot of money for him. Is a wide player the priority now, really? An attacking wide player? Now that Nicolas Pepe has headed off on loan to Nice, I think a wide player is the priority. And you know, there's been a lot of talk. Mikel Arteta saying that we're going to have a powerful last few days in the transfer window. They've obviously been planning for a while, talking to Mendes, who's the sort of go-between between us and Wolves. David Ornstein saying he feels sort of unlikely, but it could happen. It's going to go down to the wire, isn't it, this one?
I think it might do, yeah. But I'm glad that we're in for this player. I think that I'm a big fan of Neto. He's had a big injury last season that sort of knocked him back. And he's just still recovering from that. But what I saw in the early stages of his Wolves career was a really special player. Someone that looked as good as a Diogo Jota, for example, in that team at Molineux. And I think he's a really sharp player. But the key for me is his positional adaptability. So I think he's probably at his best as a right winger. But he could play on the left wing. And more importantly, he can play up front. And he's done that before. And I think he could do it for us as well. So he would tick a lot of boxes, Pedro Neto, again, at a good age as well. He looks at Arsenal in terms of his style of play. He can finish. So, yeah, I'm really, really pleased that we're being linked with him. And it's another one, isn't it, that's already got Premier League experience. And it does seem that Edu and Mikel Arteta have really prioritised that in the last couple of windows. And you've got to say, across the board, that policy is working.
Yeah, I mean, if we get Pedro Neto, I mean, this has been really a fantastic transfer window. I mean, to be honest, I sort of feel like that anyway with Saliba coming back in, but particularly with Jesus and Zinchenko, and then we'll see with Vieira and Marquinhos and how it goes. But another thing that Mikel Arteta said, he's been speaking today, and we've done the transfer window in a different way. At the start of the window, we signed players before getting other players out. Now we've done something different. We've let a player go and may be able to recruit somebody, but it's not a guarantee because the player is still not here. I mean, I guess he is talking about Pedro Neto there. But what he guarantees is the day the window closes, this is the best team in the world, and I will try to get the best out of them. He sort of has to say that, really, but we are all feeling pretty good at the moment. One thing I do want to ask about is FFP. I mean, I think what happened was, I mean, from what I've heard, and when I say what I've heard, what I've read on Twitter, essentially, is that we were being investigated, but only in the sense that, oh, they're spending a lot of money, let's have a look. But the general feeling is that we're spending within our means.
I don't imagine Arsenal will have too much to worry about because they've offloaded a lot of players, haven't they, recently, particularly high earners. So that surely comes into it in terms of Arsenal spending. Yeah, they're forking out a lot of money in the transfer market, but they're recouping plenty in savings every month. It is a reminder, isn't it, that we also need to get transfer fees in for the players that we no longer want. Often we end up loaning them out, as we've done with Nicola Pepe. Sooner or later, we need to start getting better fees, I guess. But overall, I'm sure the club are right across it. And when I look at what's happening elsewhere around Europe, with Barcelona in particular, closer to home at Chelsea, with the unbelievable spending there, you wonder why our name is even in the conversation, to be honest. But I am no expert in that field of football. I don't sense that we're about to get ourselves into a pickle.
No, I mean, we are the seventh highest spenders in Europe at this transfer window, below Chelsea, Barcelona, Nottingham Forest, Manchester United, West Ham and Bayern Munich. So, it seems strange that they're looking at us, but hey, hopefully it's not a problem. One of the players, by the way, ESPN are reporting today that Hector Bellerin might cancel his contract with Arsenal. David Ornstein did mention this. It's sort of a sad end to his career, really. And it's a shame that Real Betis are in some sort of financial difficulties because he would have loved to have stayed there. He had a trophy-winning season with them, as David said. But if he goes, we appreciate the work he did for us, don't we?
Definitely. Yeah, he's a good lad and he had some good seasons with us as a first-team player. Look, as I know, but from personal experience, to stay at Arsenal, to be in that first-team squad over a long period of time, it's blimmin' hard. Yes. You've got to be so good, so consistently over a number of years. And he's had a great run at it. It just so happens that maybe he didn't fulfil what the club hoped in terms of his potential. And that, yeah, eventually you have to seek pastures new. If he does cancel his contract, I think that would probably be in the best interest of him and, of course, the club. And it's a sensible way of doing things. You know, just be grown up about it. It's like, well, you need to go. We need to sort of free you up as well. Let's just call it quits. And I think that's a sensible way to do it. I did the same once as a player at Stevenage. There was a bit of a standoff. And I just said, look, let's just cancel it. I don't need a payoff. I'm not bothered about that. I just want to be able to go and play somewhere else. And that's what we did. Yeah. So, hopefully they can find a way.
One more thing before we have a little break. Mikel Arteta's 100th Premier League game at the weekend against Fulham. He's won 52, drawn 16, lost 31 of the 99 so far. What are you giving him as a grade? I mean, it's difficult, isn't it, Adrian? Because really, you might have said, I don't know, B up to this point. You might have even said B minus or C if you were being really harsh. But the transfer window he's had and the start he's had this season, we must be getting into B plus, A minus territory.
Wow. Yeah. Do you know what I've got? I've got a flat B.
Yeah. Here,
which is good. Yeah. In my memory, if you got a B, it meant good. And I think that's where we're at. There's too many defeats there. 31 losses yes. out of 100 is too many.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't think it can be sort of ignored or airbrushed that in good positions to qualify for the Champions League, when it kind of was in our hands, we blew it 2 years running. So those are the negatives. The positives are the football is starting to become fabulous.
FA Cup.
The FA Cup was an amazing triumph. with a team that we wouldn't be happy to put out on the pitch at the moment, let me tell you. We won the cup, beating City, then beating Chelsea with that group. So that was an amazing achievement. The recruitment strategy I love because it's clear and it's precise, and they're sort of going after players with precision, expertise, filling the right holes with the right profiles. I like that. And I also admire the ruthless calls that he's made, because I do think in the long run it was needed. So lots to like, a few things to say, could do better. So yeah, I'll go for a flat B. But look, in a year's time, I want that to be an A.
Well,
definitely.
Quite.
We all do.
We all do. I think, interesting, the ruthlessness you talk about. We played Fulham at home 16 months ago, which feels like a lifetime, to be honest. Five players who are in or around the first team. Gabriel Martinelli, Emile Smith-Rowe, Gabby Magalhaes, Bukayo Saka, and of course, Granit Xhaka, who will be there long after we've gone, as I've said. But, you know, that's pretty good. I mean, six players just nowhere near the first team or out of the door in a year and a bit. So that ruthlessness appears to be working. This is a Handbrake Off, the Arsenal podcast, brought to you by The Athletic.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
We were a bit with the handbrake at time.
Now, we did put out a little shout. We did put out a little shout on Twitter. Ask Adrian anything about Arsenal. Five A's. I got a few questions. Adrian got a few questions as well. The one I got, which I quite like, have Adrian and Mrs. Clark opened up that bottle of tequila yet? That's from FL Journeyman.
No, I should put it on eBay, shouldn't I?
Save it for a celebration when we have Europa League trophy parade and, you know.
Yeah. Does it last forever? I don't know. It feels like we've had it too long.
Does tequila have a sell-by date? I have no idea. I imagine not, to be honest with you, because it's alcohol, isn't it? So one would imagine it stays pretty fresh. Oh, this tequila is fresh, isn't it? All right, I'm going to go through a few that I got. Mags the Elder, sorry, because these letters are all put together. Mags the Elder asks, will Arsenal sign not one or two players before the end of the transfer window? Oh, mystic. Ooh. Adrian Clark.
I'm not very mystic, but my prediction would be one, boringly, in the middle. Yeah, I just don't get the vibes that we're desperate for that midfielder. The Tielemans one, we might wait to get him on a free. That's my hunch, but we'll have to wait and see. I think the Neto one feels like it could. If we're aggressive in terms of the way we pursue him, and that if he tells Wolves, and that's all you need in these scenarios, all he's got to do is tell Wolves, I want to go. Just like Gordon has told Everton, he wants to go. Fofana has told Leicester, he wants to go. That's the tipping point.
Yeah.
It just depends. If Tielemans and Neto tell their clubs they want to go to Arsenal, we might end up with both. Yeah.
Who would you take of the two?
I would prefer Neto,
yeah,
because I think I don't want to leave us light in that attacking department, and I think he, like Martinelli, he can sort of slide into a centre forward position if we need him, and it would I just think he's a really good player. Tielemans, there are a few little red flags around Tielemans, around his attitude, around his drop off in form over the last 12 months. And also where he would fit in the squad at the moment, and he wouldn't get in our starting 11 at the moment.
No.
So I'm more laid back about Tielemans than Neto. I'd like to get him.
Matt Knight is another wide forward priority, not only for rotation with Saka, Martinelli, ESR, but also to enable Martinelli to be used as centre-forward. Essentially, Sam, we only have Jesus and Nketiah as centre-forwards. I mean, this goes back to the point you were making that you would like a third forward in there. And Martinelli would obviously be the guy, but it does mean that we then have to find a replacement for him. So it's sort of the same question, really. This is why you're saying if we get Neto in, we can perhaps start rotating the forwards a little bit. Saka can play over on that side.
Yeah, I like Martinelli as a striker. Yeah. It's where he
You've changed your tune, first... Adrian, a little bit.
No, I haven't changed my tune. I liked him when I initially saw him as a striker. Okay, when he first
I'm sure I asked
club.
You a couple of weeks ago. You went, oh, no, no, no. But I might have dreamt or something.
No. I'm not sure. I don't think I flip-flopped too much on that. I think that... I like him where he is at the moment because he's in good form.
Yes.
Like, why change it? But no, overall, I'm really surprised that Mikel Arteta has never really used him there because I think he could be a bit like a Luis Suarez, a little bit like a Gabriel Jesus with his mobility, the runs he makes, the carnage that he can cause. I think he could easily play that role.
Yeah.
But we haven't had any indication from the manager that that's what he wants him to do, which makes me think that maybe a new signing like Neto would be the third choice striker.
Yes.
if they came in.
Yeah. Okay. On the midfield, Ted, the PCFA chairman on Twitter, said, does Adrian think Granit Xhaka is a long-term plan in attacking midfield, or does he think that either Vieira or Emile Smith-Rowe will eventually supplant him?
No, I don't think he's in the long-term planning for that position. But, and this is a really important but, if he continues to play the way he is, then why shouldn't he become part of that planning? Because if someone shines in a new position, even if you didn't think they would be as good, then why not stick with it?
Doesn't
so
matter,
we might, yeah, we might see a brand new Granit Xhaka evolve and develop over the next 12 months where he becomes one of the best box-to-box midfielders in the Premier League.
Who'd have seen that coming? I don't see it.
But it could happen.
No.
It could happen. So I would say not long-term. I think it's a short-term fix, but it could become long-term if he goes on a run of 10, 15, 20 games, just being excellent in that position. Well, in that case, you just don't change it.
No, I mean, I like him. I like him further forward where he doesn't have to tackle as much. I'll be honest with you.
Exactly. The issue is, right, and this is the problem, if we went with a Vieira or a Smith Rowe in that position instead of him, it really leaves you light when you lose the ball, especially against good teams. And it's kind of bitterness on the backside a couple of times when we've done that before, where we lose the ball. There's too much responsibility, therefore, on a Thomas Partey to sort of handle everything. And even though Odegaard is not a slacker, he'll get back and work. It's not where he does his best work. And you could probably, you know, you'd certainly say the same about Smith Rowe or Vieira. So I think against really bad teams at home, we could see one holding midfielder and two flyers like Odegaard, Smith Rowe.
Yes.
But against anyone really dangerous and decent, I think that's a real risky policy. And I don't think Arteta's going to do that very often.
No. On the same subject, the centre of that midfield, KB is Arsenal asked, hi Adrian, if Martin Odegaard is ever injured, who do you think replaces him, ESR or Vieira? One could add, it's not just whether he's injured, but also in the Europa League, where one imagines one of those two will play in the number 10 role. We haven't seen a huge amount of Fabio Vieira as yet. We know, I initially thought that Emile Smith-Rowe might evolve into a number 10, and he might still do it. Who are you having in that position if Martin Odegaard isn't there?
It feels like it might be Vieira rather than Smith-Rowe. It feels like Smith-Rowe, in the eyes of the manager, is competing with Martinelli for that left sort of wing position. And I think that Vieira has brought in to be the sort of next Odegaard or a similar player stylistically. So, yeah, that's how I would see it. But Smith Rowe is very good in that position, could easily play it. And hand on heart, if Odegaard got injured, I would put Smith Rowe in there first up, because I think he's earned the right to be the next in line.
I agree.
I don't see why Vieira should sort of leapfrog Smith Rowe in the pecking order particularly. So I suspect Smith Rowe would get the nod if he gets injured. But at the same time, I think that the manager sees Smith Rowe with Martinelli and that Vieira is with Ødegaard in terms of their position, their best positions.
Yes. We'll do a couple more. One about the game at the weekend, actually. Sidi Amadou Ba Esquire, Sidi Esquire, I think that is, is asked about where do you think Fulham's biggest threat is going to come from? But then he sort of answered the question himself, saying, Mitrovic up against Zinchenko on the back post concerns me a little. I imagine that has been talked about quite a bit, Adrian.
Well, I've talked about it. I saw this tweet and I've written a piece about this for the Premier League, there which I think might either be out or it will come out in the build-up to the game in my Talking Tactics column. I did a piece on Fulham's sort of changing style. So they were a possession team in the Championship. They're now the opposite of a possession team. They're all about the sort of win the ball in midfield and then break quickly and get the ball into the box for Mitrovic. And some of the numbers for Mitrovic are scarily good. He's had the most shots in the Premier League. He's won the most aerial duels. He's had the most headed shots. Yeah. He's second only to a lad, I don't know if you've heard of him, a lad called Gabriel Jesus. He's second only to him touches inside the box this season. And this is for a Fulham team, don't really have much of the ball. So he's a very dangerous player. And I did include in my article almost that line itself. Arsenal will need to be very, very wary of Mitrovic peeling onto one of our fullbacks, in particular Zinchenko, from a left-wing cross, he'd look to peel on him. Because when he attacks crosses, it doesn't matter whether you're 6'3" or 5'3", he's going to win that header a lot of the time. So really, really dangerous. But yeah, he'll try and target Zinchenko and White at the far stick. So what we've got to do is stop the crosses. We've got to work extra hard to make sure they can't put good balls into the box for Mitrovic. I think that's the message Arteta will send out to the players.
Sure. Let's have one more. And this is really more of a sort of fantasy, if you like, really. Now, go get the... I can't read the whole name on here. Go get the guitar on Twitter. Said, I know he doesn't fit our current signings profile, but wouldn't Wilf Zaha be an exciting signing? He's a Finnish article, massively experienced, would improve our attack, and is a gooner, he says. Or would this simply be repeating past mistakes in signing older players? He's not that old, is he? He's about 26, 27?
Yeah, no, I do like Wilf Zaha. Me too. I think he's one of the most dangerous players in the Premier League. But you can only have so many, can't you, that play in these sort of wide forward positions. And I just, yeah. I mean, look, if we were in for him and not Neto, would I be even more excited? Probably would.
Yeah.
Probably would be a little bit, but not by a lot. I think that they're both good players. So yeah, I reckon that ship sailed. But
he's 29, by the way, which is I'm slightly surprised, but still young, I think, really.
Well, yeah, but it might deter someone like Arsenal because you wouldn't get any resale value, would you?
No.
He's got through his contract. That would be him and done and dusted. There is one question I spotted that you haven't quite got to, and I will answer it if that's all right.
Yeah.
Because they said, well, you keep banging on about a target man, a bigger striker. Well, who would you want? And it's a valid question.
Mitrovic.
Because
before Saturday.
he would be on the shortlist. Yes. I'm not even joking.
No, of course.
My honest answer was that if it wasn't so prohibitive on price, I would have liked Isak.
Yeah.
Who looks like he's going to
Newcastle.
He's going
to Newcastle, isn't he? Yeah.
Or Osimhen from Napoli. But if you're going to spend that kind of money, they expect to be number one choice, and they wouldn't be here. So you've got to look elsewhere. The one name I keep coming back to that I think is achievable, that would be happy to make the move to become number two, not number three, is Ivan Toney. I think that Ivan Toney would be very, very good.
Yeah.
Because he's a proven Premier League performer. He's a London lad. And I think he would absolutely relish coming here. And he would offer something. He would become a better player working with Mikel Arteta and all the players around him. And he would also offer that physical threat that we sometimes lack. And as I've said time and time again, when you've got five subs, when you need to chase a game, chase a goal, it's good to have something different. And
he would certainly offer that.
Toney would offer it. And yeah, I don't know whether we're linked to him. I don't think we are. But I would... I would certainly be checking him out and putting him on a short list because I think he could do a real good job for us.
That question, by the way, was from Jay Hunter 1008. And thanks for the questions. And sorry if we didn't get to yours. Let's have a song, Adrian, before we go. What you got for a song? You suddenly looked and went, I haven't even thought of one. I'll tell you mine, right, which is Money, Money, Money. Just because, you know, FFP can do one. We haven't spent in about 15 years, have we, for goodness sake? Arsene Wenger was a bit frugal with the old pennies, and I think it's time we spent some money. So I think that should be allowed over just because, you know, it's time for Arsenal to be back. And if we have to spend another 60 or 70 million pounds on Pedro Neto, I think you should allow us to, frankly, is what I'm saying to the authorities who I know listen in. What is your song, Adrian? You've had a little think
about
it.
It's a European-based one because of the Europa League draw. What about the band Europe? They came up with The Final Countdown, which I really, really... I quite liked it as a song. I think my brother-in-law had it. I did. I know it's not cool to say that, but it's not cool.
It's actually one of the uncoolest things I've ever heard. You know what? I like Europe. Final Countdown. I mean, that is...
It's just so 80s. It is. But it's an iconic song. And do you know what? It also fits. Because how many days till the end of the transfer window? Not many. The Final Countdown.
No.
So there you go.
Cool or not, it fits and we're having it. That's it. Thanks to David Ornstein for his transfer insights. He's going to be a busy man in the next few days. Thanks to Adrian Clark and thanks to Abby, our producer. We're back next week. Thank you, listener, for listening. I'm Ian Stone and this has been Handbrake Off, the Arsenal podcast, brought to you by The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.